Reggie, I just sold my car online.
Let's go, Grandpa. Wait, you did?
Yep, on Carvana. Just put in the license plate, answered a few questions, got an offer in minutes. Easier than setting up that new digital picture frame.
You don't say.
Yeah, they're even picking it up tomorrow. Talk about fast.
Wow, way to go. So, about that picture frame.
Forget about it. Until Carvana makes one, I'm not interested.
Car selling made easy. On Carvana. Pickup fees may apply.
Welcome to a special bonus episode of Hot Off the Wire. In this edition of our daily news program, we feature a selection of stories covering a variety of topics. I'm Terry Lipschitz, managing editor of the National Newsroom at Lee Enterprises and your curator of news. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire through Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss daily news updates. And now, those stories from the Associated Press.
According to an AP NORC poll last year, if they had to choose, most Americans say they would prefer to make daylight savings time permanent rather than standard time. Kenneth Wright with the University of Colorado says that choice has some implications.
We are on permanent daylight saving time. We're going to have many more dark mornings. People will be driving to work. Children will be standing there for the bus or walking to school in the dark. And it can increase that by more than 100 days compared to what we currently do right now.
Scott Yates with Lock the Clock says he got involved in the discussion for personal reasons.
Like so many people, I was just frustrated having to change the clocks twice a year. I didn't like losing an hour of sleep in the spring.
And says he's optimistic about getting rid of the time change.
It's a terrific bipartisan issue. Nobody's going to bicker about that part. So it's just a matter of getting it done.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
A new study in the journal Nature says most sea level research has underestimated coastal water heights. Katharina Seeger is the study's lead author.
The measured global coastal sea level is on average 20 centimeters to 30 centimeters higher than the commonly assumed one.
Researchers determined about 90% of previous studies underestimated baseline coastal water heights by an average of 1 foot. They say the problem is due to a mismatch between the way sea and land altitudes are measured. The inaccuracies occur most often in the global south, the Pacific, and Southeast Asia. More accurate baseline heights means if seas rise by about 3 feet, as some studies predict will happen by the end of the century, water could inundate up to 37% more land, threatening between 77 million and 132 million more people. I'm Mike Hempen.
Tech companies are pushing new health chatbots, but experts say you still need to talk to your doctor. AI companies say bots can review health records and app data to explain medical results and trends. Doctors say they can beat a basic Google search if users provide more context. Dr. Robert Wachter with the University of California.
And the alternative often is nothing or the patient winging it. And so I think that if you use these tools responsibly, I think you can get useful information.
But experts warn you should skip AI for emergency symptoms such as chest pain, shortness of breath, or severe headaches. Experts also warn about privacy. Anything shared with an AI company is not protected by the privacy laws that normally governs sensitive medical information. If you've been hanging out at a Danbury, Connecticut firehouse lately, you might have noticed the alarms went from this to this.
Check one. Respond to sick person.
Assistant Chief William Lounsbury says Danbury has joined firehouses around the country that made the switch.
The new system has reduced and she'll continue to reduce firefighter stress from the sound of the tones going off. The information is delivered clear, so you're not struggling to understand what's being said.
Engine 27 and truck 2.
The new system also sends alerts to firefighters' phones. Captain Kevin Lunny.
And you're like, oh, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. What unit are we going to? You can pull your phone out and you can see what unit you're going to.
Engine 26, squad 21.
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Muslims across the United States are observing Ramadan under rising fears tied to immigration raids, anti-Muslim rhetoric, and the war in the Middle East. Community members in places like New Jersey and Minnesota say many are striving to maintain the Ramadan spirit while grappling with many concerns affecting their communities. In Minnesota, an imam says a mosque has canceled communal iftar meals after local businesses took an economic hit from the federal government's immigration crackdown. National groups are sharing Know Your Rights guidance from mosque leaders. Leaders also say there's been harsh anti-Muslim rhetoric during the current election season. Even so, many communities keep praying fasting, and supporting one another. I'm Haya Panjwani.
Some people are reporting success getting out of the Middle East as the war in Iran goes on. Flights have been canceled. Airspace is closed. But there are flights going out. Raya Rulef is in Paris. She got out of Dubai.
Yeah, I saw the bomb and I saw the drones and everything. I saw it was closed from my window. It's horrible.
American Corey McCain also got out of Dubai. His hotel stay there was quiet.
Meanwhile, like literally a 5-minute drive that way, like a hotel's getting hit by a missile. And then like 15 minutes that way, there's like a drone strike at the airport.
Officials chartered jets or deployed military aircraft, sending stranded travelers through Oman, Egypt, and Saudi Arabia, key exit points where planes could land and take off. On social media, President Trump called for Iran's unconditional surrender. He also said the U.S. and its allies would help rebuild Iran, making it economically bigger, better, and stronger than ever before. Yesterday at the White House, the president had a message for Iran's Revolutionary Guard.
Have a chance after all these years to take back your country, accept immunity. We'll give you immunity, and we'll be giving you really the right side of history, because that's what it is. So you'll be perfectly safe with total immunity, or you'll face absolutely guaranteed death, and I don't want to see that.
Israeli warplanes bombed Tehran and Beirut as Iran launched more retaliatory strikes. The war is impacting more than a dozen countries across the Middle East and has caused a spike in oil prices. Qatar's energy minister warned it could bring down the economies of the world. I'm Ed Donahue.
The Trump administration is confronting mounting discontent from allies in the Persian Gulf, who are complaining they were not given adequate time to prepare for the torrent of Iranian drones and missiles bombarding their countries in retaliation for strikes launched by the US and Israel. Officials from two Gulf countries say their governments are disappointed in the way the US has handled the war, particularly the initial attack on Iran on February 28. One of the officials says Gulf countries were frustrated and even angry that the US military has not defended them enough, adding there's a belief in the region that the operation has focused on defending Israel and American troops, while leaving Gulf countries to protect themselves. Many people in Lebanon are fleeing their homes after Hezbollah launched missiles in response to the killing of Iranian Supreme Leader Ali Khamenei, and Israel retaliated with strikes on the country. In the city, displaced man Jamal Saif al-Din tells the AP, Israel threatened the southern suburb Dahiya. We packed our things and left. Now we're living a tragic life here. On Friday, Lebanon Prime Minister Nawaf Salam called on the international community to help Lebanon.
We appeal to you, friends of Lebanon, to support us in this endeavor and in demanding loud and clear that Israel ends military attacks on the population's displacement.
Meanwhile, Volker Turk, the human rights chief, says he's worried about the deteriorating situation in the country, particularly what he describes as the blanket massive displacement orders by Israel to civilians, notably in South Beirut. I'm Charles Dilatasma.
Recordings from more than 100 911 calls portray disturbing conditions at Camp East Montana at the U.S. Army base Fort Bliss outside El Paso, Texas. The conditions include overcrowding, medical neglect, malnutrition, and emotional distress. The detainees describe a camp in which an average of 3,000 people a day live in unsanitary conditions. Most of the 911 calls are made by medical staffers, some about detainees having suicidal thoughts or getting into fights.
He does seem like he was kicked in the ear, and it does look swollen.
Detainee advocates and some members of Congress have called for the camp's closure, but a Homeland Security spokesperson says in an email that Camp East Montana is cleaned regularly and detainees receive food, water, and medical treatment. I'm Mike Hempen.
A smartphone for pets that lets Fido and Fluffy phone it in. Singaporean company uCloud Link says that's their pet phone. CEO Jeff Chen.
So if we give a right training, let a dog, for example, jump three times, they can make a call to their owner, and they will do in the future.
Chen was trying to demonstrate how it works without the use of live animals, which were not allowed at the Barcelona Mobile Fair MWC. Despite some skepticism, he has confidence it's the future.
Suddenly we realize, and our pet still waiting for people to bring them to the AI age.
The pet phone is not exactly a new idea. However, Chen's device is worn around the cat or dog's neck, like pet cameras, and is one of several devices on the market that also lets you keep tabs on your pets. I'm Julie Walker.
A new report from the Labor Department on jobs complicates the economic picture. KPMG chief economist Diane Swonk says the numbers are very weak.
92,000 jobs were shed during the month, and the one pillar of the economy, healthcare and social assistance, actually lost jobs.
The jobs report adds to the economic uncertainty over the war with Iran, which has caused oil prices to surge. Swonk pointed out a bad combination in these numbers.
What we saw was the number of people who were employed fell along with the number of people who are unemployed rose.
The unemployment rate rose slightly. Swonk says what she is seeing is very unusual.
I call it a jobless boom. We've seen economic growth without major job gains.
The outlook for the jobs market and the entire economy is clouded by the war with Iran. I'm Ed Donahue.
Retail sales fall modestly at the start of the year as Americans pull back on spending. The Commerce Department says retail sales dropped 0.2% in January, following a flat reading in December. Economists were expecting another flat reading. Consumers spent less in January at motor vehicle and auto parts dealerships and at gas stations. The Commerce Department says excluding those businesses, retail sales rose 0.3% in January. AAA says since the war began intensifying in the Middle East, gas prices have increased from an average of just under $3 a gallon last week to a current average of $3.32 a gallon. I'm Mike Hempen.
The North Dakota Highway Patrol's newest recruit has floppy ears, four legs, and an amazing knack for finding people.
Oh boy.
Trooper Stephen Mayer, who works with the trainer of a young bloodhound puppy named Bo.
Good boy, Bo!
Says that while the use of high-tech such as drones has increased, they still need noses on the ground, and bloodhounds have a lot of scent receptors.
Humans have about 5 million. Bloodhounds have about 300 million. The part of the brain that processes odor is considerably larger than other dogs. The floppiness of their ears allows them, when their nose is on the ground, to bring the odor and pull it into their nose. The wrinkles on their face and their skin folds allows them to trap the odor.
He hopes the social media buzz will help encourage others to call earlier when they need dogs for their investigations.
You good boy!
I'm Lisa Dwyer.
Trey the Triceratops is on the move again millions of years after his extinction. Now, the massive skeleton could land in the home of a lucky bidder. Trey was discovered near Lusk, Wyoming in 1993. The 17-foot-long herbivore was on display for nearly three decades at the Wyoming Dinosaur Center. He was recently sold in a private auction and is now living in Singapore. Dinosaur fossils don't just belong to museums and universities anymore. They've become increasingly popular investments. Andre Lujan is a professional paleontologist based in Texas. He helped prepare Trey for auction on the Jupiter platform and says he's special not only because dinosaurs have always captivated our imagination, but for the history he carries.
This one is connected to people and undoubtedly has inspired young children who've seen it to pursue a career in paleontology.
Trey's pre-auction estimate? Between $4.5 to $5.5 million. I'm Marcela Sanchez.
A Dutch museum says a painting once dismissed as not a Rembrandt is now confirmed as a work by the Golden Age master. The Rijksmuseum is unveiling Vision of Zacharias in the Temple. After 2 years of close study, including high-tech scans and comparing pigments and paint layers with other Rembrandt works and dating the wood panel to before 1633. The painting depicts a biblical story in which High Priest Zacharias is visited by the Archangel Gabriel. A private collector bought it in 1961, and it has stayed out of view for decades. The anonymous owner initially asked the museum only if the painting was Dutch. I'm Julie Walker.
On this week's AP Religion Roundup, decades of clergy sex abuse in Rhode Island, and American Muslims face growing tension during Ramadan. A sprawling investigation finds decades of sexual abuse among Catholic priests in Rhode Island. AP's Julie Walker has the story.
A new report says Rhode Island Catholic clergy abused hundreds of children for decades while church leaders minimized the scandal. Ann Hagen-Webb is a survivor of priest sexual abuse.
This report feels like vindication for me, for what I've known for years, and that I
am constantly trying to tell the public about, but they don't always see it.
She says for 32 years, the diocese called her not credible. Attorney General Peter Nerona says since 1950, at least 75 clergy molested more than 300 victims, and he expects more survivors to come forward.
If you're the Diocese of Providence and you're listening, this is a scandal that you need to own and you need to fix.
The diocese says the report reflects its cooperation but misleads the public into thinking the problems are ongoing. Three current or former priests charged with sex abuse during the review are awaiting trial. I'm Julie Walker.
This week marked the midpoint of the Muslim sacred month of Ramadan. The month is transitioning into its final 2 weeks, often marked by increased worship and preparation for the final 10 nights. AP's Haya Panjwani reports that for many American Muslims, this year's Ramadan has been difficult.
Muslims across the United States are observing Ramadan under rising fears tied to immigration raids, anti-Muslim rhetoric, and the war in the Middle East. Community members in places like New Jersey and Minnesota say many are striving to maintain the Ramadan spirit while grappling with many concerns affecting their communities. In Minnesota, an imam says a mosque has canceled communal iftar meals after local businesses took an economic hit from the federal government's immigration crackdown. National groups are sharing Know Your Rights guidance from mosque leaders. Leaders also say there's been harsh anti-Muslim rhetoric during the current election season. Even so, many communities keep praying, fasting, and supporting one another. I'm Haya Panjwani.
I'm Walter Ratliff.
I'm Terry Lipschitz, thanking you for listening. Audio provided by the Associated Press. Be sure to subscribe to Hot Off the Wire on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode.